is Tim Murdoch. You're watching Endgame Exotica, the exclusive interview series, White Rabbit Radio. Today we have on a returning fan favorite, Mr. Vincent James. How you doing today?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me back on.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. I know you're a busy guy. You've got all kinds of shows going on. You guys can check out our guests at the links below, especially his X account, which is always screaming red hot. He's always doing all kinds of things on there. And his Daily Veracity with Vincent James every day. It's like 3:30 p.m. Pacific, which is 6:30 Eastern, I guess you could say. He's always on. He's got a new show called The Backlash. What's The Backlash about? Give us an overview.
Yeah, it's a multi-person podcast. We've got Rebecca Hargraves, Dave Riley, and then we have in-studio guests a lot. We had Kai Clips, who maybe a lot of you guys know, yesterday, and he's going to be back for the Wednesday show. We had Jake Shields the other day in studio. Owen Benjamin walked in at the end unexpectedly, joined the show. So it's been growing substantially. Thousands are watching live every single episode, and it's been really fun. It's been really
cool. Yeah, so. It's pretty good to do a show with a couple competent, if you have competent people around you. You know what I mean?
Right.
A multi-person show is fantastic. People love to see it, but you do need help. I mean, they're
true.
Complicated to set up. And is this at some kind of office space or something? Or you don't have to disclose it, but I mean, it's like, if someone has a big basement, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, it's actually a barn dominium. So those are things that are really popular out here, cheaper to build than like a normal house. And it's really nice inside, big open space, big welcoming open space. Okay. Yeah, barn dominium, yep.
All right. Is it like someone affiliated with the show's barn dominium? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So we go in there, we film in the living room, and it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Let me
got all the high-tech equipment, all the cameras and everything, and so we're off.
Yeah. Let's see here. That's awesome. Let me get the entropy going. I don't know if you know this, but Odyssey was had their whole entire API yanked by Stripe. I don't know if you knew that.
Really?
Yeah, they had their API yanked by Stripe, which I thought was hilarious.
That sucks.
Yeah, it was like
can't super chat on Entropy, or you can't super chat on Odyssey no more, huh?
No, well they're trying to get a new hookup, and they're trying to go with USDC, which should be crazy. They can do USDC 1-to-1 and create like a DLive Lemon system with USDC. The challenge is the offboarding. The onboarding is easy, but the offboarding, in other words, letting people cash out and the gas fees and everything else, getting that all programmed. So, but no, that,
right.
If they could make moves on the streaming side of things, but, they're just not anywhere near as big as Rumble, of course.
Right.
It's like one of those things. So,
well, you know, Rumble was backed by Dan Bongino. And so, you know, it got, you know, Con Inc. kind of like funds it along. I don't even know where they get the money. Honestly, I have no idea. You've got billionaires behind it, of course, because how else would they get the money to fund these contracts that they're handing out to people? You know, so.
Yeah, it's amazing.
What's
the last contract you've heard of from Rumble? What's the last one you've heard?
I don't know. I know Sneeko got a contract there for a year. I don't know if Elijah Schaefer has one. I don't know. These people they're giving out contracts, but again, like they have, you know, your platform's going to grow if you've got backing, you know, and if you're not towing the line, you're going to get sort of penalized.
They've got a lot of crazy stuff going on Rumble these days, though.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a lot of stuff on Rumble. I mean, they allow me to be on Rumble. I've been on Rumble since before they had live streaming. So.
That was one place they didn't kick you off? They ever kick you off?
No, they haven't kicked me off. I think I'm shadow banned. You know, they don't like recommend my content. But I'm there. They've, you know, verified me and So it seems to be okay for now, at least.
Well, I mean, they are handing out giant contracts, or they were not as big as Kick. Kick handing out crazy contracts.
Yeah.
Well, Kick is owned by Gambling Concern, and so we don't know everyone in behind Rumble. I'm just waiting for them to crack down because there's a lot of crazy stuff on Rumble these days,
right?
Especially anti-Semitic stuff.
Yes, there is. There is. But again, I think they push that stuff down. It's crazy though. On Twitter, it's like promoted. It's like all you see when you log into Twitter, when you scroll through your feed. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, that's how it goes. Let me start off here. Let me play this, because this is actually, iHypocrite tweeted this out, so I think it's apropos. One of the greatest moments in debate history. This is from IP. LP, I guess he's called. I don't know if it's LP or IP. I get it wrong. But this is a debate you were having, and you want to set up this clip? This particular Jewish guy. I think it was you and Nick Fuentes on here with Gavin McGinnis. What is this clip about? I mean, I know what it's about, but set it up for the audience.
Yeah. So I was asked to debate, to do like a duo debate or whatever, a double debate, 2-on-2, 2v2, me and Nick versus Adam King and Gavin McGinnis. And Gavin was, you know, defending the, and I don't know, he probably does a lot of this stuff on purpose. I'm sure he knows a lot of the things that we know. And so he was on Adam King's side, and we were trying to tell Gavin this whole time, like during the debate, like, this guy doesn't like you. Like, he hates you. Like, you're Catholic. Like, he doesn't like you. And I knew what he was going to, like, I knew what he thought in his head. I didn't know that he was going to share this publicly. I did know that Jewish people can sometimes be, you know, lack sort of a lot of self-awareness and just be very frank, be very honest a lot of times. So I thought I'd give it a shot. And then I asked him a question. I said, you know, if you had to get, like, here's a hypothetical situation. You had to get rid of one, Catholics or Muslims. What would you get rid of? And he said, Catholics, without hesitation. He said, Catholics, Catholicism. And then his debate partner, the guy who was supposed to be his partner on his side, who was arguing with him the entire time, Gav McInnes, walked off stage after hearing that, and the debate ended shortly after that. So,
all right, hold on here. Let's play this, and this is funny.
Adam, if you were given the choice, or you had to get rid of one religion, and it was Islam or Catholicism, which one would you get rid of?
Catholicism.
What?
Yeah.
I just want to get your opinion, because
I am mortified. Yeah.
Gavin's pissed. He's about to read the protocols of the elders of Zion.
My co-host would rather annihilate Catholicism than Islam. I came to Zionism from Islamophobia. I don't think people understand that. And I came to Zionism from my seething hatred of Islam after 9/11. I'm a raging Islamophobe. I don't think Islam is compatible with the modern world. But I came to Judaism from the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So when my friends prefer Islam to Catholicism, dude, I got to say.
Hold on. It was my turn to speak. I have barely gotten to speak like this whole entire time.
I muted him.
He just admitted. And this is what we've been trying to tell you for a long time, Gavin. They would rather get rid of Catholicism. If they were given the choice between Islam and Catholicism, they would choose to get rid of Catholicism. Just like what's happening in London. It's just like Brett Stevens says. He says that a diverse...
Gavin, let's talk about it. Let's really talk about this issue. Gavin.
Gavin, come on.
I have a
Don't be like that.
Listen,
don't abandon me.
I have a very strong commitment to
retrieving the lost artifacts of the Jewish people, which are held by the Vatican.
Yeah, I'm out.
I don't think that the Vatican represents. Let me ask you a question.
He's got the call. He got the call.
I got the call. Right.
Dude. Are we getting a call on a live stream? That's fine.
Don't joke about that. We've been persecuted for 2,000 years. It's not funny. Our treasures are under the Vatican, you stupid goy. Go ahead.
This clip is funny. So he labeled this your best clip ever, your best debate ever. And it's pretty funny, but it is very much typical. They basically hate us. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's the same with, you know, white versus non-white for them, right? They would rather have a, and I was going to talk about Brett Stevens, who's like this Jewish so-called self-proclaimed conservative writer, former writer for the New York Times. And he said, you know, one of the things that threatens the Jewish people the most is Donald Trump's policy on immigration. He says that Jews thrive in a multiracial liberal culture. And, you know, everyone's so mixed up, you know, to borrow words from Anthony Bourdain, everyone's so mixed up, you don't know who to hate. And so this is what they believe. And so if Jewish people, and I'm not saying all, but most conservative, liberal, doesn't matter. Adam King, he's a self-proclaimed conservative. If Jews believed that they would rather live in a multicultural, multiracial nation, which means that white replacement has to persist. And if they believe deep down inside, whether admittedly or not, but deep down inside, that they would rather have Islam over Catholicism. And remember, this is, again, a self-proclaimed Jewish person. Then what else can be determined by that other than they hate you in almost every regard?
Yeah, it is par for the course. I remember this one poll. They always do these polls. As soon as the Jews find out affirmative action hurts white people, their support goes way up for it. You remember that?
Right. Yeah, I saw that poll. Yeah, I remember that poll.
It's yep, like every exactly. single time. It's like, oh, it hurts white people. Oh, fuck them. But it's just...
Yeah, and you look at like... Like, so Elon Musk is buddy-buddy with Peter Thiel, right? Buddy-buddy with the Palantir crowd. And you look at what the CEO of Palantir said during an interview a few years back. He said that his software that Palantir developed, quote, single-handedly stopped the rise of the far right in Europe. And he says, you know, there was this interview that they did with the New York Times did with the CEO of Palantir. His name is Alex Karp. He's also Jewish. And they asked him a few questions. And he says basically everything that he does with Palantir, everything that he does at the company is based on his identity as a Jewish person. So again, like it's just, and I think maybe Gavin McInnes has changed maybe his opinion over time, especially since that debate, but it is important to highlight these things. It's important to talk about these things, especially now, because for so long up until now, we weren't able to talk about these things in the public square. And now this is being sort of laid out there. Now this is being aired out there, and it's, you know, we're able to discuss it. We're able to talk about it, and we're winning. Our arguments are winning. People are beginning to see these things. These things are becoming more and more apparent.
Yeah, what do you think? Typically, historically, you've been banned as many times as the next guy. Anyone I could name, Vincent James has been banned. You've lost income opportunity simply for having a particular opinion. Most of us have been banned dozens of times that have been around for a while from various different payment processors and everything else. I find it kind of funny and actually refreshing. I mean, some people are pissed off about it. I'm not, because this is the way things work, that people are hyper monetized for shitposting. I mean, I know guys making money on Twitter shitposting for stuff, making mortgage payments and everything else, and maybe even more, some even more, like 2 and 3 mortgage payments for shitposting on X. Things that I've lost accounts over plenty of other places. It's happening on Facebook. It's happening everywhere else. And we have someone like Candace Owens, which you ran us on your timeline. And this is pretty good. I'm going to,
by the way, I don't know how people are making that much money on X, to be honest. I have no idea. Like even the most, There was one time I got an Elon retweet. I don't know if you remember this or if you saw this, but Elon retweeted me, quote tweeted one of my tweets.
Was that from white genocide? White genocide from South Africa?
Yeah, that month, or in that 2 week period, I had, it was like 100 million impressions. It was something like, it was like 20% of that was engagements. And the payout was like $120. So I don't know if there's some sort of preferential treatment going on. I'm sure there is. There has to be. Like, how are there people like Sex Laptop, right? The Elon Musk's latest baby mama, or the latest one that we know about, making $7,000 a month on Twitter with only like 20, 30, 40% more impressions than I get. Like, so it doesn't make any sense to me at all in terms of the monetization on X. But yeah, I do have in my Twitter bio top five most censored person on the internet. I can't really identify too many more people that have been more censored than I have. There are very few. You can count them on one hand since the YouTube ad apocalypse. So with that said, though, you are allowed to talk about a lot more on X. Like, there are clips like this Candace Owens clip that you're going to show that, you know, they're allowing to go viral. I don't know why. Some people have conspiracy theories about this, but nonetheless, this is definitely a good clip.
So you basically are monetized on X.
I am, yeah.
You're at the moment. Barely.
At the moment.
It doesn't even matter.
I mean, right now it pays for my, like, verification.
Okay. Well, that's better than nothing. But that actually surprises me that you got 100 million impressions on that and you only got, like, $100. That makes no sense based on what I know. But I'm not monetized. I'm not monetized yet. So
I don't get it.
Or anything like that. So we have a mutual friend that pays his mortgage with X. He's advertised it, you know. And an Italian New York radio show host, shit posting on Blacks Night and Day. You know who I'm talking about?
Anthony Cumia?
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. He's monetized on X?
Yeah, I mean, he's advertised. He's like paying his mortgage payment with it. Now,
it
I don't know
matter.
If they
he,
messed with that.
He's a millionaire anyway. I don't think he cares.
No, but at the same time, he's saying, like, this is what I'm making on X. And, you know, he's advertising it, stuff like that. And so he's one of the guys I've tracked. I mean, you know him better than I do. He follows me. So there are guys doing quite well. I mean, there are plenty of guys. There's another I don't want to put on blast, but, you know, he's monetized LP. iHypocrite. But 100 million impressions, I'm pretty sure the guy's making a couple grand a month, 1,500, 2,000 a month. I want to say they're not doing that many more.
Yeah. I don't know. I like Anthony Cumia. Yeah. I don't know what he's up to, but I don't think that $2,000 matters to him, to be honest.
No. If he lost it or whatever, he's a smart guy. He was a clever radio show host. He advertised it, though. He's like, look how we're doing on X, shit posting about Blacks. And, you know, there's a couple other. That's the only reason I'm saying. There's others I could talk about, but I don't want to advertise something private, you know. But he put that up on X, and that's a great example. So I'd like to know. But I've heard a lot of people bitch that were making money on X that weren't stopped making as much money, trying to figure out how they're doing this algorithm. And I'm guessing
it doesn't make
AI.
Any sense. Yeah, I don't know. They did up the cost of the premium membership to $50. It was like from $25 to $50, and they're like, "Oh, you guys are going to get more money or whatever." But it hasn't happened, so I don't know. Who knows? Maybe it's because I talk about other things. Who knows? Who knows what the heck the deal is? But
it is.
But you're right.
Funny.
It is better than nothing for sure.
It's kind of funny because Laura Loomer was bitching about this, wasn't she? This algorithm thing. Not that I follow Laura.
Oh,
Loomer,
was she? Now. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what the deal is then.
Yeah, and she was bitching about not, you know, getting demonetized and stuff like that. But it's crazy stuff. But I think Elon, maybe the algorithm has favorites. Like, okay, you're Elon's baby mama. He's got to throw you a bone.
Yeah, maybe that was part of the deal. Who knows?
I don't know. It's crazy stuff. Let me play this, though. Let's get back on.
Pay me and make my child support the form of X monetization, please. That's what maybe that's what she said.
Well, that could work. You know, just look, Elon, you know, just slip it into my X payment every.
Yeah, slip it in my X.
They pay out every exactly. couple of weeks, which is actually kind of cool.
Yeah, every 2 weeks, right.
I wish they would get their live streaming shit together, like a decent chat and a monetization for live streaming. That would put them on the map because their live streaming has all the potential on the internet. And one of the best live streaming, I mean, it's great. It's just the chat is wonky and there is no way to monetize for like big streamers to take it serious. You know what I mean? Unless you're cutting a deal with X directly. You know what I mean? Like for super chats and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't know if they want it to turn into that.
I don't know why. They're taking money everywhere else.
Yeah, true.
They're trying to make money. You're offering live streaming. Why would you offer live streaming at all if you're not going to get your chat together and you're not going to get like a hyper chat, super chat, or X chat together? You're not going to get something together. I mean, it's not like they're, you know, it's not like a public square where they're nonprofit and they're not trying to make money. They constantly are trying to make money.
No, that would be badass if they did that.
Through advertising,
awesome.
Yeah, right?
I thought about that too, actually.
They're always talking about making
about
money.
That too.
Making money for advertising. They're complaining about, you know, okay, they're charging. They doubled the membership or subscription price. Why not just take 5% of the super chats, which would still make them a low cost producer, or 10%, which would make them a low cost streaming producer, and they'd make a freaking fortune because the number of views you can get on it is like stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Then they would, I don't know if they fear that they would turn into mainly a video platform. I don't know.
Well, they already are.
Yeah, they are. I mean, the content that goes the most viral are videos. It's true.
Videos and images.
Yeah. Short clips. Yeah. They are. They're really trying to do that short. I find myself scrolling through Twitter. Like I scroll through, scrolling through Twitter videos. Like I scroll through Reels on Instagram or TikTok videos nowadays too. So they're really trying to pursue that short form content angle. That's for sure. I don't know about the long form stuff, but that is a good idea. That is something that I've thought about before as well.
Yeah. Okay. Let's play this clip.
It's incredible.
Yeah. So Elon, if you're listening to Vince and James or anything from the show, I mean, it's kind of like, you got to get your shit together. You either want to stream on there or you don't.
Right.
Something.
It's incredible. People think that the greatest mass murderer was Adolf Hitler. No, actually, if you want to talk about genocide, the fact that people in America don't know about what the Bolsheviks did to Christians, where did the idea of a concentration camp come from? The Bolsheviks. The reason why we're not allowed to learn about these people, we don't talk about Henry Gagoda, is because he's a Jew, right? And so it conflicts with the narrative of Jewish people always being the victim in every single circumstance. So we're willing to push away Christian history. We don't talk about Christian history whatsoever because they have this bizarre focus, our classrooms, on training us to have this bizarre allegiance to Israel. And so to suit us, I feel that we are heavily propagandized in the classroom. And the reason why I feel that way is because we spend years talking about the Holocaust, only for me to learn when I'm out of school about a bigger Holocaust that took place at the exact same time. We were locking arms with Stalin. I mean, you read Alexander Solzhenitsyn talking about the gulags and who built those gulag systems, who created those gulag systems. The majority of them, he eventually wrote a book, were Jewish men. And of course, this has not become collective guilt. Doesn't mean all Jews are Bolsheviks and think this way. But the fact that I'm denied the right to talk about my history while you demand I talk about yours and you demand that I worship Israel doesn't fly with me.
It's pretty strong. She's pretty tough on the subject. Now,
yeah, actually surprised that Jimmy Dore is welcoming this sort of content on his platform, to be honest. I remember back in the day watching Jimmy Dore and always like commenting in his live chat, things like this. And, you know, he would respond every now and again to a super chat about people saying this and sort of shun it and look the other way or you know, sort of excuse it. But now he's sort of, it looks like him as well as many others with big platforms like him are open to these ideas and open to this sort of discussion, which is interesting.
Do you think talking about this has hurt Candace at all financially? It doesn't seem to like, if it hurts her in one place, she makes up for it in another. It doesn't seem to like, I mean, because this is like David Duke. She's went full.
Yeah,
David
I mean,
Duke. And she hasn't
been... No, she's totally right.
She is right. She is right, yeah. But she hasn't been crushed for it, which is what creates a lot of conspiracies. You got a black woman married to a white guy connected in London, and she's hardcore on the JQ. I say a sign of the times. Just the way.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I think, you know, Instagram made that announcement that they're going to be, like, letting people back on, and Facebook made the announcement they're going to be letting people back on. I can't get back on. I had a Facebook account with over, like, 450,000 followers on there and page followers or whatever. I can't get back on there because my, like, personal account is gone, so there's no way to appeal it. Instagram, I can't log in to the original account. But they are – they. It does seem like they're trending in the direction that X is going, where they're allowing more of this sort of speech, which is kind of interesting. And then with Candace, I mean, some people have thrown this idea around, like, she's sort of like too big to get rid of. It would cause too much of a splash. I don't know why she hasn't. I'm sure she's shadow banned to some degree on YouTube. She has to be, but the clips nevertheless go viral on Twitter. So it's you know, the fact that she's talking about this with such a big a platform right now is a good thing. You know, even if that platform is short-lived, it's a good thing. Same goes with, like, the Hodge twins. Like, I remember watching those guys back when they just did, like, workout videos back in, like, 2013, 2014. And for them to be, like, in the political space and talking about these things and talking about, like, watching translated Hitler speeches, shit like this, like, I think it's hilarious, and I think it's pretty epic to see.
She's on YouTube.
Ann Bilzerian. She's on YouTube, yeah. Even.
That's crazy. She's on YouTube. Does she talk about that on YouTube? Other than
I don't know. I don't know what she puts on YouTube. I'm sure maybe it is on YouTube. I don't know. That was on Jimmy Dore's YouTube channel. So it's like, and he's got, I think, even a bigger platform than she does. But so.
Yeah, I just wonder what someone like her is getting paid on X.
Oh, yeah, that's probably quite a bit.
But fascinating. You know, the people benefiting from this picked it up and ran with it. But I don't know. Who's your favorite one right now? You had on Jake Shields. He's a big name. He pushed it. He got punished financially for it, though. The Armenian you just mentioned, Blazarian, he got punished for it financially, I would say.
Yeah. But again, both of those guys, I don't think the money.
No, they didn't do it for the money. The internet
really mattered to them, especially Dan Bilzerian. He doesn't need money. But Candace Owens, too. I mean, she's made millions of dollars. She's a multimillionaire. Favorite one in terms of, like, who I personally like, I would say Jake Shields, just because he's my friend and I personally know him. But favorite one in terms of biggest platform, I have to say, like, Candace, Dan Bilzerian, Hodge twins, like these people that have the biggest platforms and the largest reach that are talking about it. Definitely like the Twitter accounts that don't do too much. You know, they're the clips of them talking about this in person don't do too well, but the clips and the posts that they post on their Twitter timelines are always good. I Hypocrite, you know, I Am Memes or whatever that account is, and a couple of others that do quite well. There's a few that are coming to mind that I can't remember the names of, but you know, it's, again, the numbers are growing. I mean, since October 7th, I think people just were just like, I'm not going to continue to shut up about this, and we're going to talk about this. And that's what's dominated X for the past 2 years. Basically, that's the conversation that's dominated X for the past 2 years.
Yeah, it's like it's a tidal wave historically. If you study anti-Semitism, once the tidal wave starts coming in, it just gets more and more. If you think the Spurgnatty-ness is bad now, it just gets worse.
For sure.
I mean, I guess Nick Fuentes has paid a price financially for talking about Jews and a lot of other stuff. There's a lot of people that have paid a price. But some of these latecomers, like, I think the only reason Candace Owens didn't pay a price is simply because she's a black woman.
You know? Yeah, that's probably part of it.
She left
Daily
Wire. And
then also because she's a latecomer.
Yeah,
right?
Very, very. And which in these types of movements or struggles.
I don't know that it has to do with the fact that she's, I mean, maybe it's partially because she's black or whatever, maybe more so woman, because you look at some of these other guys, like back in the day, 2017, 2018, 2019, Nick Cannon. I mean, you saw what they put him through, Kyrie Irving, DeSean Jackson, some of these guys.
Some good points.
Yeah, I mean, they were meant to, like, they were forced basically to, like, go on, like, apology tours, you know, it's like before they can get their shows back, or, you know, they would get penalized money or whatever, some of these sports stars. So maybe it has more to do with she's just a latecomer and she's a woman. I don't know.
Yeah, latecomer, woman, black. She is solid on the message, though. She's as good as, I mean, she's basically these are standard talking points on the JQ, and she's got them covered.
Yeah. I mean, she even goes through things that I didn't know sometimes. So that's
she does some crazy deep dives. I was blown away by her. I have to say, I even played it for my stream. I was blown away by her. She dug into Macron. And I didn't know any, I thought that was like a meme online about Macron. That's more than a meme. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, she's going into Henry Yagoda. This is some pretty, like, this is stuff that's like covered in like the Battle of Europa. like she probably just like watched the last Battle of Europa one day and like started talking about, like, started doing a deep dive into like who the commissars and like what was Leon Trotsky's real last name. Oh, Bronstein. Like, who were 90% of the Bolsheviks? Who were 90% of the people involved in perpetuating the Russian Revolution? Oh, shit, they were Jewish. Like these are things that, of course, we all talked about, like, years and years and years ago that she's now talking about, but with, like, the platforms that would have been our platforms if we had held onto our platforms, maybe even bigger, probably even bigger. So I think it's a net positive.
Yeah, I don't see it. I see it as a sign of the times. It's inevitable that you're going to have – it's a global problem, so you're going to have all kinds of people talking about the Jews.
Right.
Everyone's got an opinion on it. The only ones really left are maybe some, like, white Zionists or white Christians who are afraid to talk about Jews, or people on their payroll or Fox News.
Yeah,
or
the Con Inc, Conservative Inc., Conservative Incorporated people that are, you know, the people that were invited to the White House to – do the big drop in the Epstein files. That was a huge nothing burger. Like, people like that, that are basically hired and paid to tamp down this message, to play whack-a-mole with what usually inevitably becomes of the, like, right-wing nationalist movements, right? This has been their role for a long time. Like, people talk about controlled opposition, but they don't really elaborate on what they mean when they use the phrase or the term controlled opposition. Really what it is, it's like for a long time, conservatives dominated the message on the conservative side with radio, with TV. It was Fox News. It was, you know, it was Mark Levin. It was what's his name? His real last name is Wiener. Savage, Michael Savage. It was these sorts of people that were controlling the conservative, the right-wing narrative for a long time. Internet comes along. They still have control of the right-wing framing, of the right-wing messaging, because they own the Breitbarts. They own the PragerU's. They own the Daily Wires. They own these papers. They own these magazines and these internet shows. And now, after October 7th, I feel like they're playing the game of whack-a-mole. Just got, you know, it went from, you know, maybe like a 3-foot by 3-foot circle where they can easily, like, win this game of whack-a-mole, and it's expanded to the size of a football field, basically, to the point where it's become untenable for them to control, massage, and redirect the right-wing messaging, the right-wing narrative, to where it inevitably becomes what every right-wing nationalist movement always becomes throughout history. So, and like you said, it's only going to continue on from here, especially if we have some sort of economic disaster, where I think that people are going to start to notice a lot more if that economic disaster comes about while this is going on, while this is still going on. Because you remember Occupy Wall Street, and people were starting, some of those liberals, some of those left-wing people were starting to dig into certain things and talk about certain things and certain people and certain groups of people. And they ended that really quickly. But again, I don't think that, I think it's inevitable. I don't think that they can control it any longer.
Yeah, I think Candace probably will make, because Candace was the first major media figure. She left Daily Wire, right? Or was she fired?
I think she was fired, right?
She was fired. So if she wanted to not talk about things, she would have just stayed there and kept her mouth shut and made a lot more money.
Right.
So there has to be some principle involved. Now, obviously, she took a hit there financially, but, you know, she's already wealthy. Sooner or later, you're going to have more and more people that say, you know what, I already have money. This is about the truth. Or like, right. Well, I have enough to live off of, and it is what it is. I just got to say the truth. That has happened historically. We're just seeing a cascade effect. And this is like Dan Blazarian or even Jake Shields, you know.
Yeah, I think, and if there is like a war with Iran, like if something pops off there, if there's another October 7th like event, like it's only going to boil over from there.
War with Iran. You're scaring me. Because I think that would be a disaster. Here's the thing. Let me hold on here. I was going to talk about this. Let me see what you got here. The U.S. government is literally screening immigrants for anti-Semitism now. Who runs this country, Americans or Israel? We know the answer to that. U.S. Citizen and Immigration Services. And again, you guys should follow Vincent James and follow his timeline on X, or follow him on, you can follow him on Rumble at Daily Veracity with Vincent James. Links are in the description. He's always covering everything like this really quickly as well. He not only covers it, he covers it fast, meaning it's almost like breaking news with him, which is good. U.S. Citizen Immigration Services announced they will be considering aliens' anti-Semitic activity on social media and physical harassment of Jews. Social media. Grounds to deny immigration benefit requests, including applications of lawful permanent resident status and foreign student visas. You see, my particular conspiracy on this, Vince, is that if there's going to be a war, and I think that you know, there's always a high probability of war with this current crew. They're never going to be happy, right? And they're always going to push for war. And if there is going to be a war, you really have to worry about the open borders and what's in this country placed from the adversaries. Because they've had months and years on end, as Netanyahu has spent our whole entire lives pining for war with Iran. So the Iranians, the Hezbollahs, any enemy of America would have months on end, years on end, to place assets within the confines of America. They would have to be concerned about this. And I think that might be at the root of what the, because with the immigration, they're not deporting 500,000 illegals a month or doing anything like that. They're going after specific targets, and as well as like gang members, you know, violent gang members. That's all I see.
Yeah. And also the people that they're going after, like the numbers are so small that it's like a drop in the bucket.
They're targeting. Well, as they start dragging out quote unquote Hezbollah associates and stuff like that, or whoever, you know, it may not be, it'll still probably be like a dozen here, a dozen there, but I think that's what they're really going after.
Yeah. I mean, the latest, they basically stopped giving us numbers at this point. But I think it's averaged at like 200 to 300 ICE arrests per day. Which is not, they're not deportations, they're arrests. We found out already that ICE facilities are at 109% capacity because, excuse me, they can't deport these people as easily as they they let on. So we've got overflowing at ICE facilities. They're letting people go. They're releasing. They're literally doing catch and release, which is what Trump like said that he wasn't going to do. He was going to end. And so we're what? I mean, we don't even know what the numbers are. 10 deportations a day. I mean, we're looking at what, like 1,000 people that are going to be deported, actually deported by the time that Trump leaves office, or 10,000 people.
Well,
so the system, the fact that they're,
the system is backlogged. Yeah. They say 50,000 to 60,000 backlogged illegals being processed to be deported. Do you believe that number?
Maybe. Okay. I mean, it doesn't matter. They're not going to get deported by the time Trump leaves office. We're almost, I mean, we're a year, we're going to be a year into it, like at the end of this year. So it's like, we're not getting mass deportations. Where's the wall? Not going to get the wall. And they're prioritizing people that are anti-Semitic online. Like, really? Like, this is what we're doing here? Who actually controls this country? I think the answer is obvious.
Yeah, so if me and Vince are cellmates in El Salvador, you guys heard it first.
Yeah.
They start coming after white anti-Semites.
Yeah, like, they're, exactly. Maybe they will. Who knows?
I wouldn't put it past them. This is all Noah Hyde stuff as far as I'm concerned. It's dangerous territory. On one end, I don't really care what happens to illegal gang members and stuff like that. On the other end, when you start taking out people here legally on student visas, whether I agree with the visa or not, they're here legally on student visas for speech crimes. That kind of gets like, whoa, you know, specific speech crimes criticizing Israel. They're not kicking them out of here of like, okay, you anti-white piece of shit, go home. No, it's for being, and I'm surprised they don't disguise it more. It's for being anti-Israel or anti-Zionist or pro-Palestine or something like that, right?
Yeah, and they're getting a lot of these names from this this organization called Canary Mission, which has been operating within this country for years and years and years. It's an Israeli organization that has been literally like doxing college students for several years. And a lot of these names, a lot of the people that we're seeing in these announcements that are coming out by ICE are on the Canary Mission's website. So they're basically using this like this log of anti-Semitic college students that this Israeli organization has been keeping within the United States of America to target people for deportation, when we can't even deport the people that crossed under the Biden presidency.
I'm searching for you in there right now. I'm searching for you.
I'm not in there.
Okay. Yeah, hold on. Let me see. Let's see if
there's actually
your brain.
Very few white people in there.
This is Vincent Bertinelli, like GDL. Oh, organization GDL. They got the GDL in there for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Tim Murdoch. Let's see. I don't see myself in there for anti-racist Hitler yet. All right. So that's good. At least according to this, I might not get deported in the first round. Me and Vincent, we might be spared.
Yeah. We might be spared. Yeah, most of the people on there are like Muslim students or
okay, so
whatever, and they say that they're affiliated with BDS, which is boycott, divest, for boycotting Israel. Like that's essentially what it is.
So basically, to me, this is like they're gathering information for Project Esther, because Project Esther is about revenge against the Palestinian campus protests that pissed them off. That's how I read it.
I mean, you saw how quickly they acted when they saw, so-called anti-Semitism spreading on college campuses. They had congressional hearings within a matter of days, and then they had the replacements of these presidents of these Ivy League universities within the matter of weeks. I mean, they replaced the Harvard president, with this guy named Alan Gerber or something that's like Jewish president. So if they have the power to do that, imagine what they have the power to do.
They can do anything they want to do. They're doing anything they want to do. And how high of a chance do you think it war with Iran right now?
I think it's pretty high. I think it's pretty high given, the top donors of the Trump administration, given who the top donors of the Trump administration were, the Adelsons, and you look at Henry Lutnick, you look at the people sort of behind or in the shadows, literally in the shadows of the Trump administration, pulling the strings, controlling from the background. I think that the chances of it are pretty high. Now, the good news is that we do have a president that is has ran on and has been pretty anti, you know, regime change war, if you look at his track record. But, you know, that only goes so far, especially if there is this thing. And I don't want to cope. I don't want to like do like a 4D chess thing. But if there is this thing of like, we're going to kill you if you don't do this, like if that exists, then the chances are definitely pretty high.
Oh, man. Yeah. Elliot Brand, CEO of AIPAC. Well, my take is that they're probably going to cut. Trump is going to cut a bullshit deal with Iran for a few months so he can take care of the trade war. And the trade war is clearly about the Chinese. This is actually I think part and parcel of this World War III, which we've been in for a while since the Russian-Ukraine ordeal. And I think World War III, and I think October 7th was part of that with the Palestinians or whatever the gambit that was. I think we're in World War III. It's just over a long period of time. Over, you know, it isn't like some big, some giant war all at once, but I think it's all asymmetrical as well. Whole elements of it are propaganda asymmetrical, and it's clearly taken on a financial tone. They're trying to destroy the Chinese economy or hurt it, degrade it, and I don't know how that's going to end up. It's probably not good, but they're basically destroying Chimerica. They want Chimerica gone or modified. And, you know, the whole entire trade deal. So I think he's going to let that work out 2 or 3 months before he attacks Iran. But I could be wrong. Maybe our economy's heading south so fast that he's like, fuck it, I'm going to war for the Jews.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I mean, you mentioned something before about how, well, you've got like enemies within when you're going to go to war. And so you got to worry about these enemies within. You've got to worry about the open borders. I think, you know, initially there for sure, I think maybe that maybe this is why the sort of Trump assimilation happened, was because of that. Like you look at some old like ADL clips back at the time that Trump was like leading up to the election, where you have like Jonathan Greenblatt saying, well, it's not, we were wrong this whole time. It's not right versus left. It's young versus old. Look at these young people and look at all these Muslim students on campus being anti-Semitic. It's like, well, you know, you wouldn't really have to worry about this if you didn't push open borders, you know, for decades and decades and decades. You wouldn't have to worry about this if you didn't push white replacement for multiple decades. You wouldn't have to worry about this if you didn't push for mass immigration for multiple decades. And then you look at China, like, that's even worse. like how many people within like in the United States of America do you think are probably more loyal to China than to the US? I mean, probably a lot. Like this is the reason why this is one of the biggest reasons why most of our immigration was set aside. Like most of the 200,000 people that we allowed into the country annually, most of those spots were set aside for Northern and Western European countries. It's one of the reasons why we did that. You know, you were talking about deporting white people who are anti-Semitic. You know, it wouldn't be the first time that they actually that the U.S. government has deported citizens for being anti-American. Back in the day, they used to do it, you know, in a good way. You look at someone like Emma Goldberg, right? You look at some of these people that were deemed to be communists living within our country. I think it was Emma Goldberg who was deported. I could be getting the name confused. But you look at people that were deemed to be communists with living within the country that were citizens who were deported for being communists. So now we've sort of gone full circle on this, and they're starting to do just the opposite.
Yeah, it's a tough call to make because they can go in so many different directions. None of them are good. Securing Israel's future against Iran, and Iran is the big deal. And then you have Russia and China. The move against China, though, the aggressive tariff move, then backing off on everything but the Chinese. That's all fascinating stuff. But they gave everything away. I mean, I always say, Vince, that I wouldn't even know who the Jews were. If it wasn't for the 65 Immigration Act, if it wasn't for all their crazy anti-white shit, which, you know, culminated in the 65 Immigration Act. Then they just poured it on since then, and the Civil Rights Act and all the stupid shit that they do. Basically, we won't even know who they are. We don't know who they were. They were just we would just be sitting in our country that's about 90% white, 88% white, looking like, okay, these guys with these funny hats in the Middle East, screw them. You know, we don't really care. They run Goldman Sachs, but they're not bothering us, you know. But it never works that way, though.
Never works that way.
Never works that way.
No, it starts with the pornography, starts with the putting shady shit in movies and fighting against the churches who are stopping from those things being in movies and then putting them into commercials and putting them into TV shows. And then, you know, it just goes from there. So.
Yeah. Let's play this. Now, this is like the big thing. AIPAC is one of 70 separate organizations that part of the whole Jewish lobby. Yeah, there's a lot of parts of the Jewish lobby that don't get a lot of disclosure like AIPAC that are actually probably even worse in some level because they're not known.
Yeah, Canary Mission. Yeah. Canary Mission is one of them.
Yeah, so this is kind of funny.
World Jewish Congress, Zionist or World Zionist Organization. Like, yeah, I mean, there's quite a few.
What does Elliot Brandt make a year? Does he make like a $500,000 a year or something like the ADL does, head of the ADL?
I have no idea.
These guys always make a lot of money. It's another thing, too. Not only do they have their organizations that promote only their interests at the expense of the host country, but they pay those guys that run those organizations top dollar. That's what I find.
Yeah, people are saying this is like AI. This is not AI. This is just edited in a weird way. This is actually originally from the gray zone.
Okay. The gray zone, eh? All right, let's listen.
Lobby the executive, but as we were talking about, there was a discussion earlier about Congress being representatives of the people. Well, the White House has to be responsive to Congress. And so it's working with the time our friends on the Democratic side of the aisle to apply pressure the way that they know how to an administration, as it will be with this administration. Well, I was talking about the people who will get appointed into some of these jobs. Look at the top level, you talk about Marco Rubio and Sympathetic, Michael Waltz. Those three people have something in common. They all serve in Congress. They all have relationships with key AIPAC leaders from their communities. So the lines of communication are good. Should there be something?
So the ideal that AIPAC, and they all have relationships with key AIPAC leaders in their communities. I thought that was a conspiracy theory, Vince.
No, definitely not. they all have their AIPAC people, too, like their AIPAC representatives. A lot of people forget, and I think I quote tweet in my quote tweet, maybe there was another tweet in there, or in the replies, there's another tweet in there that talks about how you had employees of AIPAC involved in the Larry Franklin scandal, where they were basically passing secrets to, they were using someone who is in the Department of Defense to pass secrets to Israel. And the way that they got those secrets, those like military secrets or top U.S. secrets to the country of Israel, was through two members of AIPAC, Steve Rosen and Keith Weissman. Keith Weissman and Steve Rosen didn't do any time. They didn't, or Steve Rosenberg or Roseman, I think it was Rose. Yeah, I forget his last name. Anyway, Roseberg, Roseman, one of the two. They didn't do any time. They got indicted, but they didn't end up doing any jail time. Larry Franklin did. Larry Franklin was an Irish Catholic, and he was the one who did the time. He actually did prison time. And there's this article where he's talking about like what he's doing for work now, and he basically like is like a pest. He like works in pest control or something. Like, and like after he was like completely destroyed after getting out of prison for helping these two AIPAC employees give these secrets to Israel, and you know, still not like willing to, still does not have the moral courage enough to tell the truth. Like the FBI in this article, it talks about how the FBI approached him and said like, how does an Irish Catholic get mixed up with two, and he finished their sentence, he says, two Jews. You know, who cares that they're Jewish or whatever? It's like, how do you not see the forest? What's the saying? Forest through the trees or forest for the tree, whatever. But like, how do you not see what's like right in front of you? Or how do you not admit what everyone is talking about today and what's right in front of you in this interview and say like, what really happened? Like you got screwed over by Jews who used you. Like that's literally what happened to Larry Franklin. And that's something that's lesser known. Many people don't know about that scandal.
People know about Jonathan Pollard. People know about Douglas Feith and, you know, Paul Wolfowitz and David Wormser and doctoring intelligence coming in about Iraq to justify war with Iraq. But a lot of people don't know about Larry Franklin. And there you have it, right? Two AIPAC employees passed secrets to Israel. They were quoted in saying in this interview with The New Yorker that we can have the signature of 70 senators on a blank cocktail napkin if we wanted to, boasting about the power that they had over the U.S. Congress. They also said that they had people in the Clinton administration, people in the Bush administration who are getting big jobs. So it's no, this is not a conspiracy theory. This is total truth, total fact, and it's still going on to this day in a bigger way. Actually, Trump likes to say, well, Israel used to control Congress and they don't anymore. Actually, they have more of a stranglehold over Congress and over the U.S. presidency than they've ever had before.
Yeah, 100%. Ladak over on Rumble, Elliot Brandt salary, $560,397 plus perks.
Half a million, yeah.
So I that's usually what they pay their big head honchos, and all the other guys here make six figures too. It's not like they don't pay a working wage or a living wage by their standards. They do. But the chat's upset because I'm not here's the thing, guys. I am considered like middle of the road pro white. I don't walk around like going crazy on the JQ 24/7. I say what I have to say and usually a little bit different than everyone else. With that being said, but I always point out to people how moderate our position is regarding, look, if it wasn't for the 65 Immigration Act and all the shit you do, we wouldn't even be having this discussion because there's right. been a pushback of like, wow, they're just spurging on the JQ too much and doing this and doing that. And I say it's never too much because they started it. I mean, this is just like a moderate point, you know?
Right.
So,
and everything sort of comes back to this topic, right? I kind of get bored of it as well, to be honest, but everything just sort of comes back to it time and time again.
It's the problem. It's why we got to talk about it. And there's always another crew of people that when I first found out about the JQ it was from Jewish Tribal Review. I was doing deep dives online and it's like, you just get totally lost in the right. JQ, and then you're like, okay, what do we do about it? Because it's like a whole segment of history that's just been hidden from you, and you've been lied to continuously. It's just a fact.
Yeah, and a lot of people are just finally coming around to it now, and imagine like the research they're doing, which is kind of funny to think about.
Yeah, because it is a rabbit hole. It is a rabbit hole. Let's continue playing this. This is Elliot Brandt, $500,000 CEO of AIPAC.
Something questionable or curious that we need access to the conversation to.
We need access to all the conversations. And one of the first candidates I ever met was an AIPAC professional in my job.
One of the first candidates I ever met with as an AIPAC professional in my job was being a candidate for Congress was a guy named John Ratcliffe. He was challenging a long-time incumbent member of Congress in Dallas. This guy looks like he could win the race. When you go talk to him, he had a good understanding of the issues. And a couple of weeks ago, he took the oath as the CIA director for crying out loud.
Yeah, they're just putting CIA directors in place. No.
Yep.
You know.
The guy that yep. had a chance to speak to. So there are a lot, I don't want to call them lifelines, but there are lifelines.
I actually think that the war of ideas is the crucial battlefront here. I'll give you an iterative.
Here's the thing about the war of ideals. They don't want a war of ideals. They don't want that at all. They'd lose that in a heartbeat. They don't want some right. kind of war of ideals. They want propaganda.
Not in an open public square.
What's that?
Right. Not in an open public square, that's for sure.
Well, they can't handle that shit.
Good example, just so you can use a public term. You guys do that. Imagine 5 years from now, a congressional staffer types into AI, Claude, GPT, at that point, GPT-14, whatever, right? Says, is supporting Israel bad for American national security? The answer that they get back is going to be informed by the information that's on the internet today.
Now, that's their problem. The problem is the fucking truth.
Right.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you Google something now and you're only going to get certain results, or you YouTube search something now and you're only going to get certain results. Like, back before 2017, 2016, it wasn't like that. Like, you were able to YouTube search a video and you'd find the exact video you're looking for, and not these, what they call authoritative sources. They've changed the search results, and it's based on these altered and molded search results that AI is going to be built, like ChatGPT is. You know, when that first came around, we were messing with it. It was pretty cool. It was pretty funny. It would tell the truth. And then they've definitely molded it into something completely different. Grok is still pretty good. But so this is what they're talking about here. They're like, we have to, like, if 80, 90% of the population is going to use ChatGPT or AI to find their information, right? Or the platforms in which they search, right? Because you look at, like, Gen Z, Gen Alpha especially. Like, when I talk with my son, who's Generation Alpha, and I'm asking him a question about something going on in the world or whatever, he's like, well, just search it up on YouTube or search it up on TikTok. Like, TikTok is their search engine now. Like, they don't say Google it. That's like a foreign term to Generation Alpha. They say search it up. And where do they search it up? They literally use, like, TikTok to search things up. So people that are hypochondriacs, I've heard, are searching up their symptoms on TikTok. Like, young people are searching up their symptoms on TikTok to find videos of you know, what they're looking for. Those platforms are going to have this search engine built into those platforms. So if you search something on TikTok, it's going to have those AI generated results, and those AI generated results are going to be molded and formed into exactly what they want it to be formed into, based on what they call these authoritative sources or approved search results. They want an approved search result coming from these search engines. And for the young people, it's TikTok, it's YouTube, it's you know, Safari in some cases. But so that's the war of information. That's the battle of information that he's talking about here, this APAC person.
Yeah, I think the AI situation has never went well for them since the beginning. They've had a lot. They've had to go overboard into training AI to be not be quote unquote racist, to go against the reality of the situation, because our side of the equation always owns the internet. There's no way around it.
Right.
We dominate it in one form.
If we're allowed to. If we're allowed to be on there freely, correct? If we're allowed to have
here's the thing. I think
level playing field.
Right. It's so big now, and these kids are so good at hiding, you know, rephrasing things with symbols, and they're always getting around speech codes. They're always getting around. It doesn't matter how many you ban. It's like the Groypers. It doesn't matter how many you ban. They're back on.
Right. So. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, once you train AI, or you set certain parameters for AI, then it's set, right? And then these platforms are going to use the same AI with the same parameters, right?
Yeah, that's what they got to do. They have to do that ever since Tay blew them away.
Right. I remember Tay. Yeah, that's a long time ago.
Well, Tay was the first one that looked at the internet and said, fuck you.
Right. Yeah, it's like complete, like, racist bot. I remember that. That was so funny.
You're just looking at the statistics, looking at the numbers.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Noticing coincidences. What is this? Ben Shapiro is pissed off at Trump about tariffs on Israel because, get this, he has a friend in the jewelry business. Hold on. Let's watch this. Again, this is all from Mr. Vincent James' timeline. We're going to get to Kennedy here in a minute.
Yesterday, Israel announced zero tariffs on any American goods. The Trump administration hit them with a 17% tariff anyway, claiming that they had a 33% tariff rate on American goods, which clearly is not true. Why? Because it turns out that we buy more stuff from the Israelis than the Israelis buy from us. Shocker, they're a smaller country. We're a giant market. Not a giant shock, as it turns out. So this is pretty crazy. I have friends, for example, who import product to the United States and then sell them. This is why? Because they can't get the product in the United States. So, for example, I have a friend who's in the jewelry business. and his friend in the jewelry
business. Can't imagine a Jew in the jewelry business.
And that clip basically ends there. But like the it's just like, again, like the no self-awareness, just like how do you not like understand that that sounds like stereotypical, right? Like, I'm mad at Trump for doing tariffs because I've got a friend in the jewelry business that's making less money. Like, it's kind of like a funny clip. It's kind of like a funny caption that I used to post that clip. But it's like, again, like the self-awareness is just like completely lacking there. What we talked about with Adam King.
Yeah, I think they just hit everybody with tariffs, and then they're going to back down on the ones other than China. But there are cases where they're saying they're really investigating loads coming from Israel, so maybe they're worried about a false flag attack or something. I don't know. I'm just getting conspiratorial. We do always have elements of the FBI and CIA that are concerned with Israel. They just don't know how much power they have.
Right.
So.
Or can't do anything about it.
Exactly. Hold on. You know what? Let's play this clip. This is another clip. I didn't find this on your timeline, but I thought it was interesting because it's true. It's a Chinaman talking.
They rob you blind and you thank them for it.
Clip is a little low, but I've got it jacked up.
It's a scam. That's why I'm saying this right now. Americans, you don't need a tariff. You need a revolution. For decades, your government and oligarchs won't ship your job to China. Not for diplomacy, not for peace, but to explore cheap labors. And in the process, they hollow out your middle class, crash your working class, and told you to be proud while they sold your future for profit. And yes, China made money, but we used it to build roads, leave millions out of poverty, fund healthcare, raise living standard. We reinvested in our people. My family also benefited from it. What did your oligarchs do? They bought yachts, private jets, mansions with golf course driveways. They manipulate market, dodge tax, and pour billions into endless wars. And you get stagnant wages, crippling healthcare costs, cheap dopamine, debt, and flagged away property made in China while they pick your pocket. For 40 years, both China and the United States benefit from the trade, the manufacturing, but only one of us use that wealth to build. This isn't China's fault. This is yours. You let this happen. You let the oligarchs feed your lies while they made you fat, poor, and addicted. Now they blame China for a mess they made. I don't think so. I don't think...
So he's not wrong.
Yeah. Except he doesn't name who the oligarchs are.
Yeah, he doesn't do that.
He doesn't say who the oligarchs are, who the people, who the globalists are, right? He'll say globalist or whatever, but he doesn't really identify them. But yeah, no, it's totally true. And I think that revolution is coming with this economic collapse that is on the horizon. I think that we're going to see levels of call it what you want. But levels of that, add higher. We're going to see X in real life. Like, I think we're going to see people talking about this in real life, to the bigger extent than we've seen in history.
Yeah. The levels of knowing will just keep accelerating. Now, right. This was probably one of the biggest events that you jumped in on. But you've been on this for a long time. You're one guy that could
long
talk
time.
About it. In deep,
yeah.
Do deep dives on the problems with, let's face it, you can point to a handful of different parties that would have an interest in killing JFK with a lot of power. It wasn't just like one particular group. There was a few, he pissed off a lot of people. I mean, a lot of powerful people.
Yeah, you had the mob, Italian mafia was involved, the Jewish mafia was involved.
CIA pissed off the CIA in general.
CIA, Israel. Right, Israel was
well. That one's always
one
left out.
Most money.
that was the one that's always left out.
Well, I think the Jewish mafia was always left out as well. You know, they would throw these names around: Mickey Cohen, Meyer Lansky, Bugsy Siegel. They would throw these names around, but a lot of people just thought, "Oh, those are mob members." and probably a lot of people don't know that those are not like Italian people. Those are like Jewish mob members, Jewish mafia people. And so you've got Israel, and Israel is like, what do you need to solve a crime? Well, you need the motive and you need the likely culprit, right? You need the motive and the likely culprit, right? The person who has the most motive and the person, the culprit that makes the most sense. And the Mossad is the one that makes the most sense in the JFK assassination. You've got the Dimona nuclear thing, like all the stuff we've been over before. And I think stuff that I've talked about in the show before, probably most of the people that are watching know. And so, yeah, this is another thing that I've talked about for a long time that is still not really common, I would say, common knowledge.
No, it isn't.
And another thing you mentioned too, you were talking about, we were playing the AIPAC, the CEO of AIPAC clip, and he was talking about how Israel controls Congress or whatever. Like, this is not, like, people for the longest time said that this is like an anti-Semitic statement. You can't say that that's anti-Semitic. And a lot of people accepted that accusation, accepted that label for that statement. But, you know, we had a lot of people forget, or a lot of people don't know, that we had literal presidents who were saying that behind the scenes. Like, what do you think is in the what do you think was the reason for Watergate? What do you think was the reason for taking out Nixon? He was literally trying to purge the White House of Jews. Like, literally. Like, look at the Nixon tapes. Listen to what he was saying. We had literal president. It wasn't just Nixon, JFK. Like, it wasn't just JFK and Nixon. There were other presidents that were saying the same things, that they're taking control of the entire government and we have to stop them. Like, that's quite literally what Nixon said. Jews are taking over the American government and we have to stop them. That's what Nixon said. So it's not crazy to hear like that AIPAC, the AIPAC guy is just admitting like what is the worst kept secret in Washington, D.C. He's just like saying it, and he doesn't know he's being recorded saying it.
Wasn't Nixon friends with Trump? Who was friends with Trump? Which former president was Nixon?
I'm not too sure. Yeah, I don't really know about that relationship, but
intriguing. Too bad Trump's not like that.
Yeah.
Those that don't know, the JFK particular ordeal has to do with Israel wanting nukes, and JFK was going to stop them from getting nukes. Right? Is that the simple?
Partially. Yeah, I mean, that's like one of the biggest things. Israel was trying to build their nuclear bomb, and JFK was like constantly getting in the way, and he was constantly trying to send investigators to their Dimona nuclear plant, and they would like literally set up fake control rooms and fake control panels to like inside this nuclear plant to sort of throw these people off the trail. And he's quoted in saying, these sons of bitches lie to me constantly, and talking about the Israelis. He also wanted to register AIPAC, or what was formerly called the World Zionist Council. I think that's what it was called. I'm probably wrong about that. I forget most of this information, to be honest. But so he was trying to get what was AIPAC, or what turned into AIPAC, registered as a foreign under the Foreign Agents Act at the same time. And then he was killed, and he was killed. And then Israel gets the bomb. Israel gets the bomb by stealing nuclear material from the U.S. and nuclear secrets from the U.S. And it was, again, the same channels passed through AIPAC members and Israeli spies and American Jews. And you had the NUMEC scandal that occurred at the same time. And then Israel gets the bomb. And then it just sort of devolves from there into what we have today.
Yeah, wasn't it the Mossad was, which I call it Mossad. The Mossad basically was upset because JFK humiliated Prime Minister of Israel. Wasn't there something about that as well? That's something that isn't well known.
Yeah, I mean, that's another aspect as well. You had McCone replaced Dulles, and Dulles was a big Zionist guy, and I mean, there was a lot there. You had the the former members or current members of the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, which is what it was called back then, that owned the Dallas Textiles building from which the first shots were apparently fired. They ran the organization that actually invited JFK out to Dallas for this event that he was shot at. The person that supposedly shot JFK was killed by another person that went by the name of Jack Ruby. And again, they don't ever tell you what his real last name was up until, you know, we have people talking about this on the internet. His last name was Rubenstein, Jack Rubenstein. So, you know, there's a lot there, but you're right. It wasn't just, you know, Israel or just the Mossad. There were a lot of other players involved in the assassination. And of course, a lot of this information was kept from us and still is kept from us. There are still files. Maybe people believe that it was all of the JFK files that were declassified. No, it wasn't. in the declassification, there were still redactions, and there's still thousands of files that haven't been released to the public, and I don't think ever will. I'd be surprised if they were. So, you know, that's basically the long and short of it.
Yeah, I think it's the funniest part was when caught red-handed like this in discussing this, like, well, okay, there's a lot of players that wanted JFK dead, and one of the ones that you don't know about, the American people never get mentioned, never hear mentioned out of Hollywood or anywhere else, all the movies made and everything, is Israel. And
yes,
Ben Shapiro, all the talking heads say, so what? Gives a shit.
Right. Yeah, he was so long ago. Who cares?
It's definitely
a subject. I guess it's too long. I guess the Holocaust was so long ago, so we don't have to talk about that anymore, huh?
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
I guess not.
It doesn't work that way. What all have you guys been talking about on the daily on your particular show? What have you been covering?
A lot of things, a lot of financial stuff, a lot of religious stuff, a lot of political stuff, a lot of the stuff that we're talking about on this show today.
You think economic collapse is imminent?
All gamut.
You think economic collapse is imminent in America?
I do, and one of our co-hosts, Cameron McGregor, makes a really good case for it. He's really in tune with the financial stuff and knows a lot more than I do about that stuff, and he makes a good case for it. And a lot of the predictions that he's made before have come true.
Like,
so,
what? Give us an example. Give us a teaser.
There's been so many predictions that he has made that he has, like, told me on the phone personally, okay, like years ago. I've known this guy for years, and I thought he was crazy. I can't, like, name one specific one, but I remember always, like, thinking he was crazy, and then it comes true, and I'm like, what the fuck? This guy's like either you're like CIA or you're like just like a genius or whatever. I think it's the latter. I think he's just a genius. He's got a great YouTube channel too. It's called Neo Masculinity on YouTube. He does a lot of really high production value stuff. And he's on our Wednesday show every week. So real smart guy.
Okay. And this is, what's his name again?
Cameron McGregor.
Cameron McGregor. Okay.
Yeah. He's all right, so in the middle.
He's saying that there's going to be a depression. Really, how soon?
Yeah, I mean, he's talked about, like, one of the things he predicted is the overturn of the of leaders in the UK. Like, that's one of the things that he predicted before it started happening. He's like predicting, like, the fall of governments, like, this is going to be so bad. He's even saying that this is going to, like, end the Trump administration before, you know, his term comes up, which sounds far-fetched now. But again, this guy's been right so many times that you never know.
Okay. So he's saying there's going to be a depression. It's going to shake down countries. Countries are going to dissolve, including maybe in America. Is he saying America's going to split up over this?
Well, he's just saying, no, not like that. He's just saying that it's just going to be, like, it's just going to end Trump.
Like Trump is just like the Trump administration is going to collapse because of it, because of how bad it's going to get.
Well, here's the thing. We all know what's going to happen when it comes to midterms. I would guess Trump will get hammered in midterms, right?
We'll see. We'll see. I'm not sure as far as the election is concerned. I'm not sure, but
the only thing he has going for him is
financial is concerned.
He has a Soros associate working in the Treasury, which may be one of the smartest financial operators working on our Treasury in decades on end, Bessent, and who wants
yes,
to put
Scott Bessent, yeah.
He wants to put in place some kind of self-reinforcing Soros-type scheme and onshoring money. I just don't know how ugly Chimerica the breakup's going to be and what it's going to mean. Here's the thing, though. If it's going to be that ugly, we're going to war. That's guaranteed. Because that's how this works.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we'll have Chinese internment camps.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. It's going to be crazy, though.
Yeah. The Chinese are attacking peasants in the U.S. Tariffs would backfire, and soon those peasants in the U.S. would wail in front of 5,000 years of Chinese civilization. Okay. Hmm. 145% tariff on all goods from Hong Kong, a special administration region of China, brutally unreasonable and extremely shameless. The U.S. isn't after our tariffs, but our very survival. He's actually right about that, I think. I think the oligarchs are after them. I think they pissed off the Jews is what I think. Vince.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting is like the one war that actually does make sense is like a war with the cartels, like essentially like a war with Mexico, which I think is this is another thing he predicts that is going to happen too. We'll see if it's if it does. But, you know, that's not the war that we ever hear about.
Well, no, I think that that would be a great show for Trump. I think the president of Mexico is afraid of the cartels.
So oh, yeah. And who is the president of Mexico?
Sheinbaum or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A Jewish gal. The president of Mexico. That's interesting.
It is. But I think there's a lot to be concerned with at the cartels at the presidential level, which is why NAFTA was always a bad ideal and open borders are a bad ideal. But that's another reason for another day, another story of another day. But I can see them messing around and like creating quite a show of like SEAL Team 6 and whatever else going into Mexico and taking out cartel members and stuff. I can see that being like the big show for the Depression that you predict.
Yeah, that would be kind of good content, to be honest.
It is fitting, though. This is the type of thing they do. You've got a perfect enemy south of the border close by. You've got this giant military machine. And this is a fact, though. They are sending out military patrols. They are militarizing the southern border, not the northern border, which I'm also concerned about, but the southern border, right?
Yes. Yeah, and I mean, the northern border is something to be concerned about, considering we've seen the highest rates of migration under the Biden administration to the northern through the northern border than we've ever seen before.
Yeah, and there's all kinds of crazy shit coming from the north, including probably potential terrorists if we go to war with Iran or anything like that. But I can see them really pushing this war with the cartels, and I think the Mexican elite will be in on it, like, okay, so we get rid of the cartels, that's good for us. And we can say it's evil gringos, and it creates a big show and a distraction. It's like perfect.
Yeah. I don't know that it is good for them, but it would, I mean, 100% would be good for us. Like that is a war that I would get behind. But yeah, I could see what you're saying.
No, because the people that run Mexico are always dealing with revolutions. The way they got around revolution this time was pouring migrants across the border into America. But now they, of course, have this massive cartel issue where the cartels are running everything outside of a portion of Mexico City, which is run by the government. So they've got to do something or lose total control of the country.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it seems like there was sort of a revolution that took place in order to get Sheinbaum elected. I don't know if you heard about how many people, like how many candidates died leading up to that election, like were killed.
It's crazy.
So
how many? It was like a record number.
Yeah, it was a lot. I mean, it usually happens, but it was quite a few more than normal.
You know, typically the Jewish elite do not like being at the front. They like having a guy like Trump. They like having an orange man. Sure. They typically don't want the shine bombs as president. You want some Mexicali or something like that that you can control from the administrative level.
Yeah, like Vicente Trump. Fox. Yeah.
Yeah, you want something like J.D. Vance.
Right.
So this is – Sheinbaum is kind of unique. Women, Mexican, Jewish president. Very unique.
Yeah.
Normally they don't get too comfortable taking the lead role.
Right. Deep connections with Levad. Kind of like Malay. Right. Malay has these – although I do like a lot of the stuff that he's doing there. But you know, he's got these like deep connections with Chabad Lubavitch. He's basically Jewish. Like, it's very strange.
Yeah, well, these countries, our country and Argentina are so dysfunctional that they can do – I mean, I'm sure Trump does some things that we can prove of, but at the same time
– Right. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Constantly dealing with all this other stuff.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but I can see it making for amazing TV, the first strike they do on Mexico.
That would be a great stream. Great stream. Watching those videos on Telegram.
Let's see here. Trump. I'm seeing if there's any news breaking on this. This is Atlantic Council. This is the one I was talking about back like a month ago. Trump's ideal to use drone strikes in Mexico could make cartel violence worse.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on here. Trump's ideal to use drone strikes in Mexico could make cartel violence worse. Well, it would be interesting to find out, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, SEAL Team 6. Send in the CIA or something, like, who knows?
This is classic white nationalist accelerationism because the Mexicans here are going to be all pissed off.
Well, that's another thing. Again, like, you've got this thing where, who's the only people in the country that would support America? Like, you wouldn't have to worry about supporting a foreign country other than the country that they live in. Seems like it's the white people, right? The Chinese, you're going to have to worry about them. Do they support China? Are they more loyal to China? What are they going to do? Are they spies? The Mexicans, like the Jews, you know. So it's, again, you know, it just goes back to that. You were talking about the 65 immigration policy. Again, like, diversity is not a strength. Homogeneity is.
Yeah. How U.S. military action against drug cartels in Mexico could unfold. Did you read this?
Yeah, I did read that. I read that exact article, actually.
New Atlanticists, building relationships and training. Identifying first target, this first target, the Sinaloa cartel's danger to the U.S., covert action and shock and awe strategy. After shock and awe, crazy, you're going to have these F-22 fighters taking out little villages full of Sinaloa cartels in Mexico, and you're going to have all the gringos saying, ah, yeah, and you're going to have all the Mexicans upset crying.
And are they targeting the cartel connected people here in the U.S. first because of this? Like,
that was my that's what I was thinking, because the cartels use a variety of different gangs, my understanding is, right they use a variety of different gangs, and they are targeting gangs. There's no doubt they're targeting gangs. Whatever 50,000 in the backlog, whatever numbers they have in the backlog, there are going to be a lot of gang members. They're going after targets, so I think this was part of it, you know. I think.
It is interesting.
Yeah.
Definitely is interesting.
Pentagon officials are saying U.S. military has no authority to do drone strikes on drug cartels in Mexico. Well, I have a feeling. There's been plenty of times in my life where the U.S. military really didn't have authority to do shit, but they did shit anyways.
Yeah.
We've seen a few times like that, right?
A few. More than a few.
It's like every war is like, well, we don't have constitutional authority. When has that ever gotten in the way? They want to do a drone strike or any strike in Mexico. I guarantee you. I mean, if they're talking down this line of the new Atlantic Council, this is like you know, the Hollywood, this is Steven Spielberg and those guys get together. You know, we got to take someone out. We just got to bash their brains in. We got to create a distraction. We got these cartels. We got Sheinbaum in there. Fuck them. They're done. They're done. You know, they're going to get, you know, that's how this stuff works, I think. Neocons.
Yeah, well, Sheinbaum was trying to prevent Trump from deporting people back to her country for a while.
For a while.
Yeah.
And now they're just putting them in Mexican prisons and stuff like that. She lost that, but like she lost that right. Because the Jews in America is like, no, we got to get these dangerous people out of here.
Yep.
Yeah, she lost that tribal war there, that intertribal conflict. I think that this is where it gets intriguing, though, because you're going to have all the Mexicans here pissed off. It's going to be so racial. It's like everything else. It's racial. It's like every time you turn on the internet, we have what's the latest black on white crime that I thought, is there going to be a riot over this one?
Metcalf,
the kid that was stabbed. We don't know how many times he was stabbed. They got it all on video, apparently. Has anyone seen the video?
No, I haven't seen the video.
I'm guessing it's brutal. And you know it's probably I'm sure not
it's on
like
Telegram somewhere.
It's not like he's dropping the hard R, calling the guy a nigger or something like that, and he starts stabbing. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be like the black guy just loses control. It's just like some low impulse control stabbing.
Right.
Yep. And it's got to be bad because his lawyers dropped him. He raises a $500,000. And
Which is crazy. Although, I do get where GiveSendGo is coming from.
What did GiveSendGo say? What did
Gibson? Because they were like, oh, people are freaking out about how we're allowing whatever the family of the black dude to raise money on the platform. And I get what they're saying about how, you know, well, because like they're saying like, well, you know, the white people, conservatives who were banned from GoFundMe for raising money for defense, right? Like Kyle Rittenhouse, right? I think he raised money on GiveSendGo. I don't think he was able to raise money on GoFundMe, right? And so they're trying to be the opposite of that. But geez, it's like, man, this is like such a fucked up situation.
Oh, yeah, where anyway. he actually did not raise money on a mainstream source. He raised money on that alternative source where they let anyone raise money, basically.
Yeah, GiveSendGo, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. That other, their competitor, the whole entire reason GiveSendGo exists is because the other ones are so
funny. GoFundMe bans, right.
GoFundMe will ban anything, especially anything white.
Anything white or anything conservative, right?
Yeah. Fascinating. All right, Vince, I know you got to get going here in a few minutes. Is there anything else you want to cover, anything you want to promote?
No, this is fun. So, I love the free-flowing conversation style. I love this stuff. I really appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, it's a lot of – I am curious to see how fast this economy – because it does have the potential to deteriorate simply because of the amount of credit, the amount of leverage. Credit is leverage. There's a tremendous amount of leverage in this economy, and when that unwinds, it could be bad. And how fast they start bombing Mexico.
Yeah, the bond market's all fucked up right now. So, yeah, we'll see. Gold's at $3,500 an ounce.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Yeah, it's like, it's all signs point to south. So, we'll see. Thanks for having me on, though. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on and being a good sport. And thanks a lot. And guys, hold on here. Let me get to some super chats. You can go ahead and go, Vince. I know you got it. I know you got
it. All right. Yeah.
I know you.
Yeah, sorry. I just have to pick up my kids way sooner than I thought. So
yeah, I know.
Anyway, well, this always happens to me. This is why I'm like so like I'm in and out. So anyway, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
And make sure to super chat the show. Make sure to help this guy out.
Support us or support the guest. It doesn't matter.
That's right.
Jaron, thanks Tim and Vince. Thank you very much, Jaron. Yeah, I every time one of these sites gets messed up. And thanks to Vince for coming on and making a good show. I'll stay here a couple of minutes and talk to you guys. Every time one of these particular situations gets messed up, it's always turmoil. I know it's turmoil for Red Ice, everyone that had anything to do with Odyssey or blah, 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 blah. By the way, someone was asking me why I don't have a Buy Me a Coffee. I actually do have a Buy Me a Coffee. I just never promote it. I don't really know how it works, but it is active. So maybe that's something I can promote. I do know those that announced, you know, we keep asking, you know, what are we going to do about memberships if Odyssey's not going to be around? I think Buy Me a Coffee, although I don't have it active, can do monthly memberships. So I'm going to move monthly memberships to Buy Me a Coffee. That's what we're going to do for the website. I think. Because I can adjust the price. Global Chat, thank you very much, sir. Always generous. Hail Tim. Hail Vincent. Hail the chat. Aaron White, thank you very much, sir. Mr. Consistency. Garen, thank you very much. Thanks, Tim, and thanks, Vince. Rebel Science, love the show. Great guest. What do you guys think? How fast are they going to bomb Mexico? I have a feeling this is like a slam dunk. When will I open up the lemon chest? I'm not streaming on DLive. Uncle Spurdo's Fantasy Realm is trying to get lemons on DLive. I don't even think I have any. Entropy has subscriptions. Yeah, but you can't set the price. I don't think you can set the price. I don't particularly like Entropy. I mean, I use them. I think it's great, but they're not my first choice if I can get the money at a less. They take 15%, and I would like Entropy better if they were every 2 weeks for someone that was established. I understand why they do once every 5 weeks or whatever. They do it, especially with people that are new and whatnot, but I think if you've been paid out from Entropy for more than 6 months, they should go to every 2 weeks. There is somewhat of a danger with Entropy, and it's not their fault. It's just the fact that one of these days someone's going to get to them, and it's going to be, you know, not good. But that's one of the problems. Like, you know, when Odyssey went down, they paid out, then they stopped payments. But, you know, you don't have, like, a month in limbo or anything like that. When you start talking about these guys that don't pay out that often, the Trovos and whatnot, we've had so much money, our particular sector has money stolen from us from these particular sites that don't pay out often. And sometimes it's not their fault when they lose payment processors. So a lot can happen with the Entropies. And so I don't like that once every 5 weeks. Also the 15%, it's not bad. But you know, we take what we can get, but there is a reason why I would not use being tied up with just one company. Is okay if they pay out all the time. But when you got payouts once every 5 weeks or so, there's a little bit of a danger, once a month, I guess you could say. There is quite a bit of danger for your average streamer or someone with a website. So that's why I would split it up, just so you know. The Buy Me a Coffee is instant. It's like Odyssey instant. Rumble's not too bad because as soon as you hit $50, you can get money out, so it's not too bad. But they just take a big rake of it. But it's a big platform, so there's nothing perfect. There's nothing perfect. Odyssey with USDC, well, that would be good, but we haven't seen anything there. So I'm just going over some things with you guys, some angles. Yeah, Entropy is good people. I don't have any problem with them. There is somewhat of a danger to be totally invested in just one particular site for everything. You know, we always want to keep it a little bit spread out, I think, or at least have options. So, read that the next 100 years, they're shoring up South America and will make it the next China. I don't know. I don't. The Chinese are Han Chinese. They're very mercantilist. The one thing that shocked me, that really surprised me, is how many people aren't really coming to the rescue of China. They're keeping their deals with China, but they're not coming to the rescue because they want someone to deal with the intellectual property problem in China. You know, you have something made in China, it doesn't matter who you are, something original. And at night they're running, they're basically busy running a midnight manufacturing session on your particular intellectual property and selling it down Amazon right with your product and undercutting you. This is a lot larger. I just thought it was like a problem for Americans and the Japanese and whatnot, but man, this is all over the place. They've got all kinds of problems. And so they don't have a court system that can get a handle on it. They don't seem to give a shit, but they are mercantilists. I mean, the famous quote is everything you guys complain about regarding the Jews, the Chinese are just as bad at. But anyways, enough of that. I'm going to let you guys go. I'll be live tomorrow night at 5:30. We've got all kinds of stuff to cover. And I appreciate Vincent James coming on and making it a good show and taking time out of his busy schedule. But cheers, guys, and have a good night. Stay safe out there. See you guys tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. Eastern or thereabouts. Cheers.